Okay, welcome to Office Hours. It is time. So if you have questions, please feel free to drop them into the Office Hours channel. I'll get them answered in the order that they appear. Otherwise, we're going to sit in unimaginable, unending silence. Okay, we have our first question of the day, which is from Specs, which says, I've asked a bit before, but it's been a while, so why not? I'm running a headless server again, and I'm trying to get Neos logs into an Elk Elastic Stack. Fortunately, the timestamps in Neos logs only have the time and not the date. Do you have any experience with such things? Any advice on how I might do this? Do they not have the date? I was not aware. Let me just open up a log file just for my personal reference here. Yeah, they only have a... They only have the time. Interesting. You could probably base it on the name of the file when you ingest things. We do have the date and the name of the file there, so maybe you can pass that out. Logging is actually something which I really, really, really want to improve. Like, we don't really use like a standard logging library right now, and I would love to get one situated. I'd also get one situated where you can kind of provide like a little bit of config to it. So for example, when a user has a problem with Neos, and we know it's in an area, let's say physics, I can say, run Neos with this like command line flag, and it will enable extra logging about physics. Because right now what happens is if we needed, say, extra logging about a problem, we would commit changes to Neos in everyone's sphere that would update the logging to include that information. And then when it was fixed, we would then on the next update remove that information. And that would allow us to... stop doing that. That would also allow us to not remove those log lines from the code. I'm weird and maybe a little bit sort of obsessed with it, but if a log line exists in code, it should exist forever, because there's sometimes a lot of work that goes into creating logs or creating specific log messages, and we shouldn't need to delete that. We should just disable it if we don't need it anymore. There's lots of libraries for doing that. We're just not really using any of them, so we need to. That would improve a lot of the stuff there. Next question from, actually, I'm going to jump to Specs because it's a follow-up, who asks, when the date rolls over, does Neos create a new log file with a new date, or will it continue to use the same file? I have no idea. We'd have to have basically like a 24-hour session running and then see what happens, at the date boundaries. I don't know. So Gun Griffin asks, what restrictions can a pose filter, apply? Can it be manually clipped? I use a raycast to tell it to limit the motion in that direction. So a pose filter has, like a number of components that you can use. I actually have the code base open, which is a rare occurrence right now, but, it does mean I can look them up all real quick for you. So I just find references to pose filter. Okay. So, you can do what's called a smooth lerp pose filter. That one will sort of make your controls smoothed. Gearbox has an example of that inside Neos Essentials, Gadgets, Gearbox Toy Shop, and then there's a weight in there, and it feels like a heavy weight, and that's because it's smooth lerped in you grabbing it. That's also good for like levers or heavy wheels or something. There's a part in Final Fantasy VIII, this is a sideline, but hey, we have time, there's not many questions. There's a side part in Final Fantasy VIII where you're descending through a building, and there's this big wheel to open up part of this like basement level of a building, and you need to spam like the X button on your controller to do it. And the speedrunners of that game have sort of narrowed down the mathematics of spamming that big wheel to a T so that they can get through it as fast as possible. If you can't do it on the first try, another member of your party in this RPG will then join you, and then you have to spam it less because then there's two bodies on that wheel spinning it. It's a sideline, but it's cool, right? You know what they call it in the speedrunning community is like first try valve or whatever it is, and it's very difficult. It's like, I don't know, I'm not gonna get this right, but it's like 120 button pushes over a period of like a minute, or I don't know, whatever the limit is, but that's what it's meant to, you know, meant to signify hefty lifting would be a good use of that pose filter. Moving on pose filters, there's rotation constraint that prevents you from rotating whilst you're holding it. So things like, again, levers and wheels would be really good for that one. I haven't actually used that one a lot, mostly because, you know, it uses similar things to a joint, and joint scary. Joint scary. There's pose offset. That will basically offset you in a position and rotation when you grab it. Not really sure why you would use that, but hey, it's there. The one that is probably more applicable to Gunn's actual question, though, is the box constraint. So what the box constraint will do is when you grab something, you'll only be able to move it within that box. And because it's a box, it's got three dimensions. If you only want left and right, make the box really, really short, but really wide or really deep. Just, you know, remove that height and then you'll need to be able to move it up and down and stuff like that. Manually clipped. Use a raycaster tether to limit motion. You would do that using the box constraint. That's all there is really to them. If you want any more sort of other pose restrictions that you've got, please do drop in a feature request on the GitHub and we'll get it sorted whenever we can or if it's a good idea. Remember when you're like asking for things like that, ask for what you would like to happen rather than your intended approach. So for example here, and you're doing good in the way that you've asked it, I'm just pointing it out because there's an opportunity to. Gunn asked, use a raycast to tell it to limit motion in that direction. We don't need a raycast to do that. You could use a raycast to do it and then calculate the distance based on that. But what we need is an ability to limit the range of motion, the amount of motion, right? So that doesn't technically need a raycast. That could be static, it could be dynamic. So make sure you kind of separate those two so that we don't get lost in the sort of like, why would you need a raycast? Instead, it's like, oh, you could use a raycast to have this effect. Moving on to our next question, we have from unnamed cyborg cat. Has anyone tried creating a physics gun? Yes, I believe quite a few people have. Just off the top of my head, I would probably go ask Skyro. Skyro really likes Gary's mods, so maybe they would know if someone has one, or maybe they made them on themselves. I'm not sure. But Skyro would be my target to go ask that particular question. Specs asks, lately myself and friends have experienced issues joining sessions. Yes, we're aware of that one. I think we're looking into it today. It's probably just the relay server like pooping again. So we'll take a look at it. Should be fixed today. If not, I'll bash Fuchs around a little bit till it's fixed. Gently, of course, just like bap. Hey, fix it. Moving onwards to Fuzzy. It's a way to swap into another avatar that's in the world via Logix. Yes, there is the equip avatar node is inside the avatars folder. So cool. Like, just take a look at it. You can find inside my public folder. I think it's in like public purple prime tools. There is the avatar equip tooltip that basically you can just point at an avatar and equip it. It sounds weird, but there was a bug for like one update where you couldn't equip avatars that were in the world. And so I made that tool quickly. It's also got, I don't think I actually released that version. No, Turk edited it. There's one where you can select an avatar with secondary and then duplicate and equip it over into like the other ones there. That will just change your avatar, not teleporting. Equip avatar will just change your avatar. It shouldn't teleport you. The context menu does teleport you as far as I'm aware. Unnamed Cybercat asks about Hypnospace Outlaw. I have no idea what that is. So no, I have not checked that out. Electronus asks, so I have a user parenter on one of my avatars and users can walk around on a box collider with it. When I move manually, they tend to stay in place, but when I move my stick even slowly, they tend to fall off. I've been advised to use a box collider for the parenter that is fairly large to basically catch them. Is the better way to do this? No, that's what you'll have to do. Look into how the character parenter works. This comes a lot in elevators. Basically, if you stop colliding with that collider, it will deparent you. And so what's happening there is probably like an update order or something like that is happening to de-collide them from the collider. So that's cool. I didn't think it actually got taken down. We didn't delete it. I don't think we delete anything. Sorry, that's a reference to Turk's tool being taken down. Don't think it has. So you just keep an eye on that collider. Make sure they're not de-colliding with it. You might be able to hook up some like logics to try and figure that out a little bit more, because you can detect when they de-collide from it. Children count change or something like that, and maybe sort of narrow down what's going on there. Moving forwards to Fuzzy's question: is there a recommended theoretical discovered maximum number of children you compare it before things get upset? Not that I'm aware of. You'd probably end up in issues. Quite rapidly, but like not quickly at all. You should never have to worry about it. This does come up a lot as well. People worry sometimes too much. Like, I understand the worry, but if there is like a performance problem or like a limitation or something like that, then we should take care of it with you. Like, we should take care of that for you so you don't have to worry about it. No, Rusia, that's children a parent can have. Oh, yeah, that's a different thing. Yeah, number of slot children, there is a limit. I thought you were talking about trees, like descending down, children, parent, children, 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 like a branching tree. That's probably got no limit, but number of slot children, there is a limit. I forget what that limit is, but again, you shouldn't worry about it. It's probably close to one of the sort of boundaries. Yeah, there you go, 256. You shouldn't, like, you shouldn't have anything there. There are then, of course, Ozzy brings up the JSON limits as well. Sometimes there are limits on JSON when saving it. Good example here being that folder. So I prevented it from being created, but I haven't, obviously with what's going on, I haven't fixed up so that it will then be okay in the actual UI. There's people that were creating folders that had incredibly long names. They were using colors or ASCII art to make their public folders. That was breaking stuff because the folder length was too long. And some of the validation just couldn't handle the length of that. It was related to the JSON synchronization. So I put a sort of stopgap on that in the create directory menu, so you can't make them really long, but I haven't then gone back and done the rest of the operations there to clean it up from behind. Next on was to Has, who says, on new Neos player, I'm not sure if the right place to ask, but is there some kind of general plan to simplify Neos' UI? Yep, there is. That's the UI overhaul roadmap. Also take a look at the myths page on our wiki. This page is sometimes quite sort of bludgeoning in the way that it's worded. It's not intended like that. It's just intended to be as quick and as blunt as possible just to get the message out there. So we want to improve the UI. We know it's bad. We are going to improve it. Like, it's not intentionally this way. It's not on purpose that it's terrible. It's just not finished. We will finish it at some point in the future. TBD. Fuzzy, is there a nice way to discover if an object exists XYZ other than looping through everything from root down, checking? Yeah, Collider. So again, I guess happens a lot and I keep hearing about it, so I'll keep saying it. Colliders. People worry about colliders being laggy or colliders being problematic. If you do them correctly, they're totally fine. So what you would do there is probably take a small, and I say small because you're trying to look for a singular point, a small sphere active collider. Teleport it to that position and detect if any collisions occur and then turn it off. If you do that all within like a couple of update cycles, you're fine. There's no lag. It's fine. That would enable you to sort of see what's going on there. Now, you could technically do sort of weird bounding box stuff, but you would have to loop through all the children there. If you want like a dynamic access without looping through the children and descending, Collider is the way to go. Speaking of that, maybe I can tutorialize it at some point. Head on over to the Creator Jam, not this week's, but last week's Creator Jam that was about bread and carbohydrates. There is a small wheat farm there where I use active colliders. I use them. They're good. They work well. And so you can kind of see how I advise doing that over there. You can grow wheat and then harvest it and grind it into flour because that's part of the carb jam. It was a good jam. Electronus points out that the object that you're trying to discover must have a collider. That is correct. If an object doesn't have a collider, it's kind of a bug, sort of. Like, if it's like an art world or it's your own world, cool. But if it's someone else's world, don't spawn stuff that doesn't have colliders. That happens a lot with sort of like, I don't know, half-finished projects or something. Like, I'll go into a world after it's been open for a couple of hours and it'll just be like, there is a sphere the size of the sun in the background. Why has no one removed it? And they're like, we can't find it. It has no collider. And I'm just like, ugh, really? Active colliders, I know that we have pseudo physics via the collider, the character colliders that are active, etc. Just don't do it. Just don't do it. Electronus points out additional clarifications about collider types. Double check my table. You'll see there that there's something there. An avatar would do that because avatars have the colliders on them that do have collision. If you wanted to go for the non-collision ones, then maybe Raycast to help there. Like, I'm kind of like picturing like this weird sort of robot that flies around the map and just goes like, okay, couldn't get a collision with my active collider. Pew, 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 with a bunch of Raycasts. Couldn't get a collision with my actual Raycasts. Cool. Guess there must not be anything here. But yeah, don't descend madly through the hierarchy or just drive yourself mad. Oh, sorry, I did miss that question. Thank you for re-asking it. I try not to. Crafting asks, is it possible to make any context menus that aren't arcs? Yes, if you don't use our context menu system. I've seen lots of people do it. They put like UI or tooling that exists on their avatar that is not arc related. guess a good example here is prominent that comes to mind is Lyris Jack's like wrist gauntlet thing that has a lot of sort of menus and stuff on it that aren't arcs. There's lots of people that do sort of customized avatars that go extreme, and they've got all sorts of like, you know, just imagine like Iron Man menus in your head. There's lots of those that exist. Those aren't arcs. But if you want to use our context menu systems, then nope, they've got to be arcs. Gun Griffin asks, can you reference an item by relative hierarchy path rather than specific slot ref? No. What you're asking there for is like almost CSS style searching in HTML. You can kind of search for like, look for any cube which is under a sphere. Like you can totally do that in web programming, web development. That's totally easy to do, but you cannot do that there. You might be able to do it in the future. And the reason I say that is whenever Fruks puts out something that has a text box, like dynamic variables, parent data links, tags, slot names, all sorts of stuff like that, he'll sometimes reserve characters. So for example, inside dynamic variable system, there are reserved characters that you can't use for your dynamic variables. The reason why those are reserved is so, hey, maybe we can do more complicated string matching later. Kip, I'll follow this up the question with, is it just search by name? Yeah, there's find char by name, which can find a char by the name. There's no fancy searching you can do there. There's find char by tag. There's no fancy searching you can do there to descend. Also, reminder, tags are singular. Some people get confused about the has tag node there. The reason has tag exists is because it is a shortcut rather than doing get tag equal equal. It's like has tag instead. It's like one or two less nodes. Fuzzy asks, is there a way to get a sound from one place to appear to be coming from another place? Yes. I believe I've got a video on that one. Let me see if I can find the video for you, and we'll take a look. Yeah, there we go. Remote audio. Essentially, though, what you do is you do anywhere there's an audio output component is where the audio actually comes out of. Audio output is the component that plays the audio. So let's say you have a music clip that exists in the world, and you play it there. There's usually an audio output on it. You know, the green sort of circle thing. You could go into that audio clip, and you can remove the audio output and wire up an audio output elsewhere. That's what a lot of the sort of video players, DJ systems, surround sound systems do. They like take your audio data and they wire it to different audio outputs. That's how you get sort of audio around there. Also check out my public folder. I think it's under gadgets. I've got a tin can telephone. If you remember, you tied two tin cans together, a piece of string, and then spoke into them. I've got that working. That uses remote audio to do that. That's a bit complicated. Like if you unpack it, you'll probably go, and that's because I made it like many years ago. But what it essentially does is it redirects your audio output when you're holding a can to the opposite can as an audio output. Moving on to Ozzy's question. I may have asked this before, but is finding a child by tag more efficient than finding by name, given that most objects don't even have tags to search through? Find child by tag. Let's take a look how this works. Instance finds child, cool, and then t find child by name, does find child index of, technically they're about the same, the reason I say that is because find child by tag has to do predicate based searching, where it has to sort of process each slot and go through the list. But find char by name has to do a lot of string stuff. So they're like about the same. Find char by name doesn't have to do any sort of predicate matching. You can just do a for each. So honestly, you shouldn't have to worry. This is again what I talk about where I'm like, if you're worried about performance, let us worry about that. We don't do it right now as much as we should. But we did do it with one node that still hasn't been released yet, but will be released, which is count occurrences. Fruks and I had a disagreement, and this time it's a polite disagreement. These happen all the time in programming. They're amazing. And you should learn to understand that those happen and that they're cool, about the performance of a count occurrences node and which methodology we're doing. So we wrote tests to see how fast it was. And we found a faster methodology for doing that. And so in that regard, we found the fastest way to do count occurrences. And so you as a user should never have to worry about how fast count occurrences is because we've done that testing for you. That's the design of Neos, right? You shouldn't have to worry about performance. If you do, it means we should do more work. Fuzzy asks about, okay, so the way that it's done with the tint, sorry, I'll state the question. It's not really a question, so I'll kind of just like paraphrase it into a question. So Fuzzy's asking, what I previously said about audio was only applicable to avatars and not like an in-world microphone. So it's a little bit difficult with like a user's voice, because the only way to obtain a user's voice right now dynamically is to use an avatar equipping event. So the tin can telephone, what it technically does when you grab it is you temporarily get equipped into another avatar. I have stuff inside the avatar that then like shoulder taps the tin can and says, here's the audio stream, use it. And then you get equipped back to your original avatar. So I know you're asking about equip avatar above. That tin can does both of them. And then what that does is it lets you gain access to it. That's the only way that you can do it with an avatar's voice, with a user's voice right now, is that kind of weird equipping route. SLS talks about ref hacking. I don't advise ref hacking because it can break at any moment. So I don't advise it. It could break tomorrow. It could break yesterday. I don't know. It could even technically break during a session. It just depends. Like, it's a bit crazy there. If you're doing non-avatar audio, though, there's lots that you can do. There's the avatar frame slot. That's where there's like a square and you can put the sound effect in it. There's a bunch of components for doing that and a bunch of like stuff there, like random audio clip player, stuff like that. You can redirect that to any audio output throughout the world. There's a bunch of like optimizations that can be done with audio outputs that I do want to talk about on a video at some point. Something which I see for a lot, for example, is when people use those frame slots, they forget to remove the audio output on the actual green circle thing, but they redirect the audio from the green circle thing to another output, like a speaker. And what that means is you actually doubled your audio output components, which means you've reduced the available audio outputs that can play concurrently in your world by two instead of one, and you could reduce that back and have an extra audio output component. Same thing happens there a lot in particle systems. For example, you can have the same particle system in use by two different emitters. So let's say you're walking through a hall of fire, and you've got fire coming out of the wall into, you know, like a sort of Indiana Jones temple style thing. What I'll see is basically each fire on every side of the wall is its own particle system and a particle emitter. And so there's competing systems that are all firing fire. They're all doing the same particle, same effect. Instead, what you can do is have one particle system and an emitter per side of the wall. And what that lets you do is change everything about the particles from one location and is slightly more efficient. Slightly. It also means that you can sort of globally control the number of particles for that particular fire walk in its entirety and know exactly how many particles exist for the entire walkway rather than for each flame at the same time. And if you want the flames to be a different color, you only have to write it one place. So that's a good tip there. Oh, it's great when people have to continually ask better and better questions to get exactly what they need. I love it. So Fuzzy has updated the question again and saying that they would like to pull audio from the world itself, including avatar or ambient noise. You're talking more about sort of recording what's going on in the world from an audio point of view. That we don't really have anything for. And the reason is that like audio coming like out to your ears only goes through one thing there. I think there's technically like something in the Unity side of things, which is the component that does that. It's like the point in space where you hear the audio coming from. There's only like one of those right now, and that exists in your head. There's a bunch of stuff that like only exists inside the Unity side of things and is completely invisible to you. It might be an audio listener component. I could open up the Unity project, but it's usually quite scary when I do that. It tries to recompile shaders sometimes, which takes 2 days. I'll find it at some point. But yeah, like it's a... there's lots of like Unity related stuff that we hope to open up to you at some point that you'd then be able to mess around with. For example, I'm quite interested in, we want to do sort of voice calling or in some cases video calling between people in the in Neos. And to do that, we would need a better system for audio listeners, as they're called. So ears within the world. There's lots of ways to make like, you know, mouths and speakers and stuff like that. There's only one ear that exists inside your avatar. It's right in the middle of your head. Jumping around. Electronus says, what's the limit on audio outputs? I always forget that. It is something along the lines of 32 to 64. I would always give yourself a little bit of headroom and aim for maybe 28, just because you got to remember that people in the world are technically an audio source, as are context menus or bells on their neck. By the way, if you have a bell on your neck that rings when you move around, please adjust it so it's not on the global audio channel, and consider making it not make noise at all. Thank you. Like, you're taking up an audio output from the rest of the session to be annoying. Sorry, that's just the way it is. Electronicists, but they're the most important. Well, show me your importance through being a good person and through the work that you do inside NEOS. So I don't even mean the stuff that you create. I mean being a community member. And then you'll get all my attention, especially if you write talks. Fuzzy asks, is there a way to swap left and right audio channels on someone? No. You might be able to do that in the user inspector, but again, I wouldn't really advise it. If you do with the developer tooltip, create new editor user inspector, there's a bunch of stuff in there. And like, if you play the wrong thing, you will crash your game or you will disconnect yourself from the rest of the, like, just be careful with that stuff, but you might be able to do it in there. Don't negatively scale ahead. Audio has nothing to do with, like what your head looks like. There is something in like how small you get that can affect the audio. That's because the audio engine sort of honors sort of how big things are and tries to sort of mess around audio on that. You'll notice that on an audio output, there's like min scale, max scale. I haven't played with that personally because I don't really understand it, but maybe you're making like a borrower's game and you need like bigger things to sound bigger. I don't know. It's there, play around with it. Fuzzy says it'll be an interesting challenge. Sorry, Fuzzy Fox. There's two fuzzies. Sorry. Says be an interesting challenge to play with reversed audio. When you say reversed, you mean swapped L and right? L and right? Or do you mean like reversed as in speaking backwards? Oh, L, they mean an L and R. Yeah. Yeah, it'd be interesting. I don't know. Take a look at, I'm going to forget the name of it and probably spend like 20 minutes trying to find it. If anyone knows it in the channel, please drop it by. There is a audio only RPG game on Steam. It won a bunch of awards. You can play it with your eyes closed. I mean, there is text on the screen if you want to, but like, you don't see your character, you don't see the enemies, but you can like battle people, have like full on boss fights. You don't see anything. It's amazing. Moving on to additional questions. Archie, just a little anecdote before we get on to the next question here, because I see business lawyer in there. There was one time when business lawyer's microphone was emitting absolutely eldritch cosmic horror noises. I don't remember why. I think it was something to do with Windows 10, but they joined Aegis Wolf and I on the moon landing world, which is already quite sort of dark and dreary and dim and spooky. And they just like, because it's also spherical gravity, they kind of like crested over a hill of this spherical gravity world. And they were just like speaking just absolute horror at us. And it was terrifying. I have a recording of it in game. I'll try and get it outside of game so I can post it here, but it was terrifying. On the audio recording I have, it includes the hitch that would happen before we had a good garbage collector, which was the longer you played NEOS, the worse the hitch got. And you knew it was happening because all the audio sources would hitch. You'd hear like, and then it would like get through the hitch. And his cosmic horror recording includes some of that. It was terrible, especially with the glowing bird eyes and the beak just sort of like bouncing up and down with this, like, oh, it was horrible. Yeah, it was really odd, like first couple of months. I was scared. And then once I was scared, it was business lawyer periodically coming back into the world and trying to see if it was fixed or not. Moving to last questions, I guess, because we're running over on time. Greg Griffin asked, does an intermittent audio source keep a channel busy? Yes, depending on how you use it. There are people here that will disagree periodically with what I say, but use Play One Shot more. Lots of people like don't use Play One Shot these days. I see lots of sort of parented audio outputs or parented green circles, etc. The reason I say use Play One Shot more is because it creates and then deletes the audio output. It creates then deletes the audio output. And people say, well, it makes a slot. And I'm like, yeah, but we can optimize that for you. Like, if that's got a problem, we'll optimize it for you. Like, maybe we'll do a Play One Shot update where it doesn't create a slot and it'll be more performant. If you go out of your way to make systems that we don't understand, we can't optimize them for you later. So I always advise, wherever you can, Play One Shot. It's just a lot better. It creates the audio output and then removes it. If you need to have the audio output around, good example here would be repetitive noise that needs to occur, background music or like ambience, stuff like that, crickets, wind howling, stuff like that, go for it. But the moment you don't need that sound, turn off the audio output's enabled flag. The enabled flag needs to be off. If you're not outputting audio through the audio output, turn off the enabled property of the audio output. That will mean it won't count to your limit, but it can still exist and be there. Footsteps, you should question why you need footsteps. If it's a game world or you've got atmosphere, sure. If your avatar individually has footsteps, my headaches do not like that. Spec says, if they suggest, play one shot, but maybe limit it if it's spammable, like no more than three active plays in a time window to keep audio source counts low. Yeah, do keep an eye on that one. If you spam it, then you will create more than you would have done if you had used a static audio output. Something which I usually do and do advise doing a lot more, particular things like play one shot and also raycast and stuff like that, is make sure that you're filtering the user that the impulse occurs in to just one user. Like sometimes you know it's just a one user, like if it's on a button push or something like that. But if you're not sure, just throw in a equal if node and don't fire the impulse, because that leads to problems sometimes. You'll have an impulse that you didn't expect to be able to be caused by multiple users being caused by multiple users. And then at that point, you'll have N sounds rather than one sound, because N is the amount of people in the world. Fuzzy Fox asks, is the audio limited because the audio system we're using? Yes, it's a Unity limitation. Those limitations do exist in a lot of audio engines. It just depends on the ones that we are using. I don't know what it would be or how prevalent it would be, but I would estimate that the Unreal has it. I would estimate that CryEngine has it. I would estimate that they all have it. It's just the way that audio works in some regards. I'd like it to not be there, but we'd probably need a new audio engine for that. I don't know. Whatever. It's good that it needs to be there, though. If you think of traditional game programming, the audio engineers, you'll see that on the credits of our audio engineer. What does that mean? That means both sort of mixing, creating the sound, stuff like that. That's more audio production, though. But that also means how the audio feels in the game and how it's activated in the game. It's very, very complicated. And they would keep an eye on how many audio sources they had, even if there wasn't a limit, because audio is resources. Drace asks about sound filters. We do have some, but they only apply to globalized audio right now, and they're also sort of like a box, right? So they're a cube around you that does that effect. I would like to be able to sort of more limit that to particular sounds, etc. It's good for voices, but again, it's only on broadcast audio, so it's a little annoying. That is an audio engine limitation. If you want to know more about audio, speak to NG. And if you want to know more about randomized audio stuff, speak to Fur, who does audio for roller coasters. That's a really interesting conversation. Ask them about the Hagrid ride. Ask them about the Hagrid ride. With that, I think we're done. We're running way over on time here. So I will go ahead and leave off here. If you have other questions, feel free to DM me anytime, and I will get back to you as soon as I can. And this will be up on Sounder later today. Hope you all have a good day. Bye-bye.